go to the Rivertown Hotline. Welcome in the Pit Boss, Pat Bostic, former Pitt quarterback and color analyst now for all the games, as he sits by Bill Hillgrove here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Pat, I know you were impressed with what you saw on Saturday. How easy do you think it's going to be for them to repeat it this weekend?
I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, they're going to be playing a Rutgers team that's pretty good defensively. They're leading the country in turnover ratio. They've had 31 tackles for loss. They've forced 18 turnovers so far. So the important thing is going to be to protect the ball, obviously. But if they execute, I mean, I think we saw on Thursday night how efficient and how explosive they can be, even handing the ball off. I mean, when you've got a guy in the backfield like Ray Graham, it's pretty special. But what they're going to have to do, I think, is still hit some plays down the field, have some big explosive plays down the field, 40, 50-yard gains in the receiving passing game, to keep teams honest on the perimeter, make teams stay off, and do enough in the passing game, and Tino Sinceri do enough in the run game to widen those running lanes for Ray Graham and let him do his thing inside.
Overall, last week, what were your thoughts on Tino's performance? Obviously, you know, the mental errors weren't there. It looked like he didn't have to think anymore, and he added another element that no one thought he had, which was the legs, and a lot of it attributed, obviously, with Graham rolling and getting off the way he's the greatest decoy as well, apparently.
I thought Tino played very solid. Was just extremely efficient. I mean, 22 for 33, and that's right around 67%, 66.7 or whatever. But he's completing the ball. He's throwing the quick game better. His feet have gotten better. I thought I saw a point of difference in his footwork, throwing a quick slant, which is something that they did very effectively in that game. And then play-action passes, he's doing a good job getting the ball out. And I think the best thing he did in that game, as you alluded to, was run the football. And he's able to pull the ball down when they sell out to Ray Graham and make defenses pay for trying to stop, you know, obviously probably one of the best players in the country. And Ray Graham, he's going to be that other half of that running game, that other third, really, because Ray Graham's about two-thirds of their running game. But for him to really take the ball down and run it is going to do a lot for Ray Graham.
Pat, one really interesting thing happened in that game was Mike Shanahan dropped a couple passes, and when he got over to the sidelines, it seemed like he got a ton of support. And you, having been a member of that team, was that the case too when you were a member? Was there that kind of closeness, that kind of support on the sidelines? That was really interesting to see.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a group of guys that really care about each other, guys that I've played with. I think they've come together a lot over the years. I think the one thing, it's more shock than anything. You can't really get upset with Mike Shanahan. He never drops a ball, so it's kind of like shock to see him drop a football. And I think guys seeing that want to make sure his head's up, because that's a rarity for Mike to drop a football. And to get in his ear and just tell him, hey, man, you made enough plays, you'll be all right. And that was a good thing to see. You're absolutely right. And I think it just shows they're a close-knit group of guys that care about each other and really support each other and want to win. And that's obviously a good sign moving forward.
Pat Bostic with Seibel, Starkey & Miller. Pat, one thing I also did notice is that was the most involved that Cam Sadler's ever been in an offense since he's been here. And this goes back to before last season, how it seemed like Cam Sadler was going to fit nicely into the offensive scheme. Well, we saw it this past week when they took on South Florida. How much do you think Cam Sadler is going to be part of this offense going forward? And if I can double barrel that, does that mean we're seeing more and more of the playbook now? We're getting deeper and deeper, or that playbook's getting thicker and thicker?
I think to answer your second question first, I think the more you execute, the deeper the playbook gets. And I thought they've executed more. I thought they put the throws on guys. I thought guys were doing things in space. Cam especially did things in space. A lot of the screen game was looking much better in that particular game on Thursday night. And what that does is it creates horizontal stretching in defense. If they're going to pack in and try to stop Ray Graham, as much as you can pack in against the spread style attack, if you're going to try to pack in and focus on Ray, they'll spit the ball out in the perimeter to a guy like Cam Sadler, a little guy that's shifty, that'll get you 6-7 yards and maybe bust a few down the field with the ball in his hands. So to have that other element out there with bubble screens and quick screens and just quick game where he can just, make a guy miss and get you 6 or 7, it all complements itself and complements the run game. And I thought Cam Sadler having an increased role is not only a sign the playbook's getting deeper, but they're starting to really get a feel for where guys fit in and what they can do and where they're at, where they're put in positions to be advantageous for them as an offense. And I think Cam's found his niche. And I think Tino knows what he's good at too. And obviously spit the ball out to him, quick game and stuff, where he's made some really, really nice plays in space.
I know Rutgers is 1-0, right? They beat Syracuse. Watched that game a little bit the other day. How hard is it to win on the road, even if it's a team on a team that you're supposed to beat on paper? I mean, is New Brunswick, I mean, Rutgers or Piscataway a tough place to play?
Yeah, it is a tough place to play. They're going to have 50,000 there, and, you know, it's a hostile crowd. I can say that from experience. But to go to Rutgers, I mean, it was a place we were really doomed for a number of years. For, you know, we went there in 06 and then, in 05 and then 07. And then 07 we lost on the last play. I got called for an offensive pass interference. And then, you know, we didn't win until 09 against them. And Rutgers has been a rival of ours. And to go to Piscataway, where they're obviously 1-0 in the league, 3-1 overall, they're going to be riding high and really want to knock this team off. So it's definitely a tough place to go play. And winning on the road is you got to do it if you want to be a championship caliber team. And it's never easy, but you got to find a way to pick up a W.
Now, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but their go-to guy, Mohamed Sanu, he has 5 touchdowns and 40-something touches. I mean, that's a go-to guy you got to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. He is a special player. I mean, he made a catch in that Syracuse game one-handed towards the sideline that was just unbelievable. He had one-handed catch in the North Carolina game where the ball like literally stuck to his fingers. It was unbelievable some of the plays he can make. And they move him around a lot. They're going to move him in the slot, try to get him off press coverage. They don't want you to key in on where he's at. So it's very difficult to tailor a coverage that's going to specifically take him away if he's going to be in multiple locations. So you got to have an eye for where he's at, what they like to do when he's in certain spots. And they're going to do a lot with him. He definitely is a go-to guy. He's a guy they want to be the primary read. They want to get him the football. He makes acrobatic catches, and he can make runs after the catch. So he's definitely, you know, with 5 touchdowns and averaging over 100 yards receiving a game, he is a special talent that this team's going to have to keep an eye on. And I think a big part of keeping an eye on him is going to be getting to the quarterback.
Talking to Pat Bostick here on 93.7 The Fan. And Pat, Frank Cignetti, of course, taught you the offense at Pitt. Now he's at Rutgers. As you watch them on tape, is it the exact same offense?
Some of the principles and obviously some of the plays are the same, but yeah, obviously he's going to adapt what they do offensively to the personnel they have, and obviously they have some special wide receivers. They got a deep receiving core. Guys are, you know, Sanu's 6'2". He's the shortest of their top 4 receivers. They got a 6'6". They got a 6'3". They got a 6'4". You know, they got some big guys that can make plays down the field for them. They got a good tight end who's 6'6". I mean, so you'll see him in some 3 wide receiver stuff, and they got fullback Martinick, who's a former tailback that they'll do some things with. So very multiple. A lot of the same stuff, yeah, but they do some different things, too, to tailor to obviously a special player like Sanu who does certain things. And really they haven't got the run game going all year, so it looks a little bit different from a complexion standpoint. When you're only averaging 2.1 yards a carry, you got to do some things more in the air. They threw the ball 57 times against Syracuse in a 19-16 football game. That says a lot about where they're at.
Pat, a lot of attention, obviously, on Tino Sinceri in the offense, but you can't overlook that defense. They were very impressive against B.J. Daniels, who the double threat only had 43 yards rushing, and a lot of that came late in the game and was only 18 for 36 tossing the pigskin around the field. What was it about the defense that all of a sudden the switch was flipped?
I think, number one, they didn't allow. Now, there were some runs. That Demetrius Murray had a couple drive there where he really, you know, was eating up yardage at a clip that was kind of a little bit demoralizing at times, but they were very efficient on first and second down, putting South Florida in passing situations. Number one, they were up on him, forcing them to throw the ball, and they don't want to throw the ball down the field. I had done a breakdown of him, and his percentages drastically decreased down the field as you force him to make reads and throw the football past 10 yards. And they made him do that. And when they were in long D&Ds, they blitzed him too. They didn't just sit back and prevent and let him run around back there. They blitzed him and made him make decisions, which is something that he hasn't been good at, and clearly, you know, they don't want to put him in those situations because he hasn't improved upon it. He still has struggled to pick up the intermediate to deep passing game and make reads, and Pitt put him in situations where they had to do that, and they made him pay for it, and they got him on a couple third downs with sacks and just didn't let him run out of contain. He beat contain a couple times early, cost him a touchdown, but after that, they kept him inside and made him throw the ball down the field, which was the recipe for a great defensive performance.
Now, Pat, with the type of year Ray Graham's having, obviously yardage right now, obviously after 4 games he has more yards than I guess anybody has ever, whoever played running back at Pitt. So he's doing things that are obviously special. He's definitely, you know, you talk about doing things when strike while the iron's hot. I mean, is there any possibilities? There's some talks about him leaving early. Would you be surprised if he did, if he continues having the year that he has?
I think that those discussions will obviously continue to be hot as he continues to play better. Obviously, that decision is going to have to be made by him. I'm not in his head. I would hope as a pick guy that he stays. But obviously, that's a bridge he'll cross after the season. I can tell you one thing, though. There's nobody, I see him every day, and there's nobody more eager to get better. I mean, the guy is just always happy. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always jumping around. I mean, you watch the game tape, and he gets up after a 20-yard run and is upset that he didn't get 40. I mean, he is just a hungry guy, and he makes just so many great plays. So I'm excited to have him for this year, and I think excited to have him for the future. So we'll see what happens.
Now, I have to say one thing. If there's one thing that bothered me during the course of that game was the fact that here you have this guy who's your entire team. Safe to say, if he goes down, it'll be a very different ball club. Returning kickoffs, man. I can't tell you how many times I've seen guys get injured returning kickoffs, how many times the coaches see that and say, guys, here's a free opportunity to throw a licking on their number one guy. I wasn't thrilled about it. What were your thoughts on that?
The funny thing is he demanded to be back there. He went to.
Well, I know, but my son demands that he wants more ice cream, and I still have to say no sometimes.
Well, you know, I will say this. The one thing I've noticed about Ray, and I said this before to you, Josh, he doesn't take the big hit. And that's the thing that's interesting. He's such a – he reminds me of McCoy. McCoy never takes the big hit, although I think he took a big hit against San Francisco. But he always has a feel for what's around him and knows when to get down. You'll never see Ray just get waxed. I mean, and that's the thing on kickoff, too. I mean, there's 11 guys screaming at you coming full speed ahead. If you have the ability and are inclined to know where those guys are at, they'll get down and avoid the hit. I think they know it wasn't going to be the entire game. You want to spark some. They haven't returned a kick for a touchdown since 2006 against Central Florida. And that's a big way against a big team to get a spark. And you want to have your best player back. You saw Golden Tate do it for Notre Dame. You saw Gilliard do it for Cincinnati. Some of the best players in college football, offensively or defensively for that matter. Darrell Revis did it. You got to put him back there because special teams plays, as you know, you were a special teams guy, are so big. And you want to have your best players with the football in their hands.
Pitt at Rutgers Saturday at 3:30. It's a battle of two 1-0 teams atop the Big East Conference. Pat, we'll be listening. Thanks for joining us, man.
It was a pleasure to be a part of the machine.